Well, last time I met Sojourner, she looked just like a royal queen. And she cruised by with a big guy in her Cadillac limousine last time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Sunday edition. Today's date is April 6th, 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It is great to have you with me today on this most important broadcast. As you all know, the French Connection has been slowing down with its audio files of late. Had a few problems out there with money, actually, and some other things. And I'm a self-supporting organization over here, and we don't have advertising on our site. And we've already lost our .tv account because of not being able to pay regularly. It was an expensive account to open, ladies and gentlemen. It was a dedicated server, and dedicated servers with bandwidth are expensive. So we were required every month to send in an additional payment to keep our bandwidth, and we just couldn't afford it after we got going, sadly. But stuff happens. I'm still trying to put together as much as I can work here as I go along, and this financial mess that we've got unfolding in the world, and I believe clearly it is an aggravated event. In other words, it has been propagated by these people to have its greatest effect to their benefit, is continuing to expand, and we're beginning to see the full breadth and width of this disaster in the bond market start to take shape. Some new information about the bond market insurers. In other words, not every bond, ladies and gentlemen, has an insured element to it. And bond insurance companies generally have been used for people to guarantee that they can get a return specified within the contract of their bond. And it's basically used to be a very cheap little add-on that you could put on any bond transaction based on the rating agencies. The rating agencies would give us a particular bond transaction a rating, and then you would go out with that rating and find an insurer, and you would add the insurance to the package. Or it could be an insured package in the first instance. In either way, it was a guarantee that whatever was written on that piece of paper was going to be paid on the date and time that it said. Well, lo and behold, if we haven't found some terrible rot and crime mixed in that group. And so today we're going to bring back our resident expert in the monetary and financial area, and his name is Mohammed Rafiq, and he has been with us many times on many subjects, and we're going to talk about several different subjects today, but principally the financial one. Mohammed, are you with me?
I am indeed. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Fantastic, Mohammed. Are you able to hear me clearly?
I can indeed. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. As long as you keep speaking loud, we're going to do a great file here. And here's the thing, Mohammed. The MBIA debacle that has just really started to take shape right now with a precipitous downgrade by Fitch. Now, Fitch is one of the more honest rating agencies out there. They're the ones who want to keep their reputation intact. We've had Standard & Poor's and some others come out with terribly timed and badly figured ratings that have kept some of these crime wave companies afloat. In other words, when AMBEC, by the way, is already in big trouble and in receivership of sorts. But wasn't it, in fact, the rating agencies themselves that were keeping this false sense of security alive?
Yeah, Daryl, I'm afraid that there are many parties all sharing blame for different elements in the catastrophe which is unfolding around us, and the rating agencies' lack of integrity, lack of professionalism, and lack of professional integrity, both of these things have contributed enormously. When we look at, for instance, AMBAC, we see a company that was trading at its peak last year at over $90 a share. And by the time we reach this time of the year, we're less than 12 months later, it's below $10 a share. It's it's not a debate now at that stage. We're beyond debate as to whether or not this company has got the same financial strength that it had when it was $90. It's worth less than 10% of what it was as a company. It's a no-brainer, and it's been acts of deception by Standard & Poor's and Moody's and other rating agencies that are not actually telling it like it is.
Well, now, why did Fitch come out now? What is it about Fitch? Now, Fitch, to me, has always been one of the bit part players. It wasn't one of the bigger ones, but I have always found that Fitch was really on the money, and it wouldn't go after the easy money deals often. Fitch would often go after the ones with the... You know, they were the sound choice usually, and they were again a lot smaller than some of these others. Standard & Poor's, one of them. But what's the point of a bond rating agency or financial instrument rating agency? How do they make their ratings? How do they do it? What's the process?
When one of these professional agencies sits down and makes an analysis, they are often invited in. Maybe we've discussed with a lot of the listeners previously this idea of you and I going out and doing our theoretical bond issues or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do in that process is when we structure a bond issue to finance a particular deal, we would invite one of these big names in to do an analysis, one of their standard analysis of the bond issue, and hope that they would give us a great rating, which would instill market confidence and also set the rates, confirm the rates that we're looking at being able to get on it. So we would actually invite them in, and they would usually charge us, and this is where it starts getting a little bit dangerous, you know, because obviously we're now paying them a fee for the rating. In theory, they're an independent agency, and they are going to be completely arm's length, and the size of the fee shouldn't make any difference.
Wait a minute here. Let's stop for one second, Mohammed. That you mean to tell me, and this is where things go badly wrong, if I'm looking for business from, let's say, a big bond issuer out there, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to rate that bond, that same bond issue, I'm going to be rating my best buddy here who pays my bills.
This is the theory, but that they also supposed to have a status similar to that of an auditor who comes in to audit your accounts, in that as a professional group they are arm's length, and that we entrust them to give an arm's length opinion. But it is a matter of trust.
Now, again, hasn't that come back and bit us in the rear end with Arthur Andersen and the rest, when they were supposed to be doing public work, and in fact were doing nothing more than committing terrible fraud against the investment public?
Well, of course, that's exactly what happened with Andersen's, and you know, Andersen's reached a stage with Enron where, as independent auditors, they were getting $100 million a year as a fee to audit the accounts. Now, you know, I don't know how big those accounts were, but I just don't see how it could have added up to $100 million in terms of analysis and confirmation of what the accountants had already been produced.
So hush money was being paid, Mohammed.
It was very clearly so, and we now have to start asking the question, don't we, Dal? You know, Fitch Ibca, they're small. The professionals in the marketplace know the name Fitch. Maybe they're a little bit cheaper to buy. But if you want a big name to put on your bond, you have to go for S&P or Moody's.
Yep.
You know, Fitch is a smaller one. They are professional in the marketplace, but they're not seen as a big name brand to put on your bond. So they've got less to lose. I don't think anybody's giving them hush money, so they quite happily put AA ratings on companies at the sort of December last year. I think they did AMBAC and MBIA as AA, which in my opinion was still a little bit late. They should have been doing it maybe before we started talking about all of this in October.
Yeah.
Because we knew back in October they could have been putting the rate, you know, their share prices were tumbling in October. They could have actually done it then, but at least they did it in December. We still have this sort sort of pretend dilemma in the newspapers, people on CNN and CNBC and MSNBC, or their financial pundits saying, well, the problem is we've got three ratings out there. Two are saying AAA, one is AA, and, you know, it's Fitch or the small guys saying AA. So it looks like there's a difference of opinion, and maybe it's this and maybe it's that, you know, and that's what's been confusing the public. But when we actually do the analysis, if we're sent in now and we don't know who, let's imagine we don't know the name of the company we're doing the analysis on, and I now work for S&P and I'm told, here's a company, they're an African company, here's their reports and accounts, we're not going to tell you who it is. I would just look at it on the first page and I would say that their share price has dropped by a factor of more than 90%. There's no way that they can maintain a AAA status.
Well, they've lost their cash hoard that sits as part of an asset class that they use as an offsetting asset to do their ratings with. In other words, the company's value is part of the equation when you take a look at who they're insuring and who they're covering. So if you've lost 85-90% of your value, that means whatever you're supposedly covering is no longer getting covered. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, even ignoring the function of the company, even ignoring the fact that they're an insurer, Darryl, just looking at any type of company that has a rating. If I said called, we're looking at a company that last summer was worth $93, it's now worth $8, I'm going to say to you, well, before I even look at the details of the financials and before I look at the details of the company,
what the hell happened here?
Exactly. I can tell you that whatever's going on in this documentation, there will not be a AAA at the end of it. I can tell you that before I start, because for the share price to have got there, something is seriously afoot.
Yeah.
It's not like they've lost 10% or 20%. We're talking 90% now. How on God's grey earth can these companies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, stand there and say, well, it's a tricky one, you know, we still think they're AAA. If he can just raise some money, we'll let him pay. So I said, what are you talking about? And that view is what Fitch have said. Fitch have said, what on earth are you talking about?
Well, I mean, let me ask you this question. Has Fitch gone far enough, which there's some people in the market right now saying they've dropped it two complete basis points on their rating. There are people out there saying Fitch hasn't gone far enough on these people, that these companies are, for all intents and purposes, insolvent.
Oh, I agree. We
jumped
at
that.
It's not just them, it's all the monoline insurers. We had, back in March, the Banking Times announced the fact that a company called Assured Guarantee, which is one of the smaller ones, that Wilbur Ross was putting in $1 billion to try and take up 12% of the company's shares. The company was desperate to try and raise $1 billion because it was also struggling out there. So small names, again, that technically are should be out of the game had it not been for a white knight stepping in. One of the smaller issuers would have already fallen by the wayside as well, Darryl. So it's not just the big names, the big five. There's some of these smaller ones. Assured Guarantee, as a result of Mr. Ross stepping in, their share prices are still around sort of $24.50. They've had over the last year they were at $32, and his intervention has basically prevented them from collapsing. But we have to ask the question, Darryl, even if he stepped in and saved that company, because it was a small one and the numbers involved were small enough for him to be able to do this, does it still mean that we should be able to look at the bonds which that company is insuring, guaranteeing? Should we still be accepting their guarantee? They themselves have just been bailed out. And if I'm a rating agency, my job is to turn around, surely, for any bond that is insured by Assured Guarantee and say, well, you know, they were insuring, but I've got to be honest, somebody's just prevented them from going belly up. They were actually bankrupt, and had it not been for intervention, they themselves would have failed. Therefore, I'm going to have to strip the guarantee element which they're providing to any bond. This is another integrity issue. What worth is that insurance at the time?
Well, but I mean, if in simpler terms for the people to understand, it's like you having a large savings account in a bank, and you drive up to the front of the bank to go put a deposit in your savings account, and there's the sheriff there removing furniture with a warrant for their assets, and you said, wait a minute, what's happening here? And they said, well, the bank hasn't been paying its bills, so we're taking its furniture as collateral. And you go, but I have my money in there. Oh, don't worry, your money's fine. We don't have anything to worry about your money. Just because the people are not going to have a desk to sit at when you go there, don't worry about this. You can see the ridiculousness of this nightmare. Now,
yeah.
Here's my problem with this. What's happened here is that there's the symbiotic relationship. Now, if you know, because I was in finance years and years ago, when I was a young man doing my studies, of course, I dreamt about going to one of the big auditing companies. And, you know, but this was before the big change in the business, the accounting companies. I wanted to work for Cooper's or for Anderson or for Price, Waterhouse. One of the big guys, everybody wanted to, okay? If you were doing accounting work of any type, you wanted to go to work. Well, all of a sudden, those whole group of companies have been turned into worthless accessories to crime. If you take a look back in the last, in the 90s, they've actually sat by and helped people steal. And there's no honor anymore in these big auditing companies. Now, what we've got is the next step here, which is these insurance companies in the financial markets. There's no honor in any of those companies anymore. There's none in the financial system. We have a dishonored system, Mohammed, completely.
Yep. It's a tragedy, though. As I say, if there may be a few players out there still trying to maintain integrity, but on the whole, everybody seems to have become a member of the snake oil salesman community.
Yep.
We have now, because obviously you and I have been warning listeners and the world at large about this rating agency fraud which is being committed, with the exception obviously of Fitch Ivca, and the big two players, the ones we're frightened of going under, AmBank and MBIA, and when we say going under, I mean, the thing is, what we're explaining to people about is they don't even have to become insolvent. Just a rating downgrade from their AAA status. Because we've got to remember that they're trading that AAA status. They're trading. And this is the thing for everybody to realize now, and it's coming clear. These companies are trading the fact that they've got an S&P AAA and a Moody's AAA. They're not trading a Fitch AAA, which is why Fitch can downgrade it. But these guys' entire business is based on, hey, we've got an S&P AAA, or we've got a Moody's AAA. We're top rated by those institutions, and we're going to trade it. So in some respects, there's also this double element of the synergy, where although S&P and Moody's have been taking money from them to give these ratings, there's also the fact that the Moody's and S&P can go around to other people and say, hey, look, these guys actually make money off our ratings. So it's a bit, there's a bit more of a sales side of it as well, you see, that they can go around to other people and say, look, people are actually making money just off the strength of the rating we give them. We've said they're AAA, and everybody's happy with them, and as long as we keep saying they're AAA, they can even use that to insure things which are below AAA. So it reinforced their power, and it reinforced their brand of a AAA. And now, of course, we're paying for it. And how are we paying for that, Darrell? Because the doomsday scenario has arrived.
Yeah.
After a great deal of pain and suffering and struggling and finding ways to keep MBIA at a AAA, it was announced, wasn't it, on Friday, 4th of April, on Reuters, that MBIA has now lost its AAA.
Well, not only did it lose a single basis, but it went twice. It went double. Now, we talked privately about the size of the insured segment within the bond market being, and they mentioned this in the article, 49 trillion, with a T, of the insured. Now, let's take a look at just the main players here and their condition. What I'm saying to you, Muhammad, is that the main players who insure these 49 trillion, which is not all of those bonds, the ones that aren't insured, generally speaking, are of less value. Why? Because you only have a single recourse. If the bond does not perform when you don't have insurance, your only recourse is to go to the issuer or the issuers of that bond and say, I'm going to take you to court, you have to pay me. Whereas, if there's a bond insurer involved, they are the first line that you are able to go and demand your money. And basically, now that what we're saying here is that the defense of the best is no longer in place, that bond company insurances are no longer trustworthy. And so what does that say about the ones that don't even have insurance, Mohammed?
Well, of course, the insurance that these companies sold in the case of those which are no longer with us, are twofold down. One is that you actually claim against the insurer first. The second is that you can go after the assets of the failed bond issuer, and then whatever your shortfall is, you can pursue them second time round. There's obviously different costs for the type of insurance they were selling. But in any event, the point is that this AAA rating has managed to pull companies that were BB or less than BB into BBB or higher. And what we've got to understand about this now is that we've had what's known as a credit event. We've got a downgrade here of MBIA, and MBIA themselves directly guarantee $680 billion of debt. This is on the Reuters website now, with the article about the loss of their rating. That means, Darrell, that $680 billion of debt. Forget MBIA's shares, which fell 5% on the news that particular day, but all of those bonds which they're insuring now, $680 billion worth, of which 49% were BBB, 49% of those have just gone from BBB status to BB or lower. They've ceased to be an investment and they're now a bet. All the AAA, nothing can be AAA that they guarantee any longer. By de facto, the insurance is AA minus. Every single one of those bonds has been downgraded, $680 billion. What that also means is that all the options on those bonds, Darrell, all the credit default swaps. So I bought a bond, it was insured, but I wasn't quite happy, so I went out and bought a swap from, say, JP Morgan, saying, you know, I think this bond here has got an outside chance of going down, and if it does, I want to be able to collect from you. And JP Morgan and all the other professional derivatives people out there would laugh at behind my back saying, hey, this mug here wants to insure a bond that's already insured. Sell him for a penny, because they're never coming to our door. So this insurance, the credit default swap insurance on insured bonds, was actually the cheapest one to buy. And so loads of this kind of stuff got written because the bankers thought it was money for old rope. What we now have, Darrell, is $680 billion of debt downgraded, along with $680 billion worth of credit default swaps all going live, with people having to pay out. So these banks that are already got a shortage of cash, just by virtue of there being a credit event, on the bonds they've insured, or sorry, on the they've given a guarantee that if a credit event occurs, we'll pay you money. They've got to start paying out. So it's not just the actual collapse in the bonds themselves directly. There's all the derivative markets. And what will that do, Darrell? As we've explained to the listeners, that'll upset all those bond derivative portfolios, the ice cream and umbrellas.
Yep.
They're just about to all get another whacking in another direction.
That's right.
They're getting whacked all over the place.
Well, now what we've talked about in notional value of that particular market is over $600 trillion with a T. Now, to put that in perspective, ladies and gentlemen, that is every transaction of money between every country, company, person, housewife and shopkeeper for 10-year period in every instance in the entire world for a decade. That means that's how much transaction that's how many transactions there are on the planet, 100% of all of them for 10 years. That means 10 times not the GDP, but the entire flow of money for 10 years. It cannot even be envisioned. The amount of money that we're talking about, Muhammad, is not even estimable, because when you're talking $600 trillion, that's $1 trillion. First of all, is $1,000 billion, so it's $600,000 billion. Now, you can't wrap your brain around that kind of money.
The in terms of nominal values, simply what J.P. Morgan have on their derivative book. I've recently come across the league table published by the Fed of derivative exposure by banks, and the top 10, number one in the top 10 is J.P. Morgan. They alone, Darrell, have $93 trillion worth of derivative exposure. And I dread to think what the effect of this downgrade's going to do. What's interesting is that MBIA still carry AAA from Moody's and S&P at the moment, and Fitch gave them the AA rating, they actually asked Fitch to stop rating the company. They said, we'd prefer it if you didn't give us any ratings anymore, because S&P and Moody's still think we're great. They also point out on the Reuters website that it says Standard & Poor's and Moody's Investors Service said that MBIA's AAA ratings were probably going to last for 12 to 18 months, and they said that back in February.
Yeah.
So this was the way that they set people out to believe, hey, look, you know, stop panicking, everybody. This is all these news headlines are about, you see, Darrell. It's just trying to stop people from panicking. So a couple of months ago, they were telling everybody, oh, they've still got AAA ratings, everybody, and that's going to be the case for the next 12 to 18 months, don't worry. You know, and all of a sudden, they've disappeared.
Yeah.
2 months later, and that rating's gone, and the bonds now are facing a terrible meltdown situation. When we look at AmBac, who are equally as large as MBIA, if we go back, there's an interesting article that came out, you know, Darrell, on the 25th of February, and it stated that AmBac Financial Group, the big bond insurer, were looking to try and raise $3 billion to shore up their position. And what it said was that these eight banks that were forming a rescue committee to try and keep their AAA rating, that the banks stood to lose $70 billion if AmBac lost its rating.
Now, AmBac, for those of you who don't remember our discussion on AmBac, was the second largest bond insurer, and when that finally started having its problems back in December, in fact, late December, there were rescue packages that were proposed. Now, what we're explaining to you is how this all interconnects in the bond market and why it's so important. Nobody was able to come up with a salvage package. Why? Because the threat of lawsuit against this implosion was so large that there is nobody with any brain out there that would take on this kind of company right now, because this company is clearly unable to meet its requirements, and so there's no way to rescue it. So what they had to do was they just put this thing on the back burner and stopped talking about it. That was their solution for AMBEC, not MBIA, but AMBEC, was to make believe the problem didn't exist.
And if we look at the numbers, you see, what they were saying was that if the banks between them, these eight banks, put $3 billion in, then the rating would be saved. But it's saying that the same eight banks, if they didn't put $3 billion in and the rating wasn't saved, then they would actually lose, those banks immediately from their downgrade, they would lose between them $70 billion. How on earth are we supposed to believe that $3 billion, putting in $3 billion, would actually make good the $70 billion that they were about to lose? It still didn't cover it. It made absolutely no sense. But the interesting thing about that article, and this is very important because we need people to understand the way the media plays that. That was on the 25th of February. Now, on the 2nd of February, 3 weeks prior to that, in the Times, it actually said that there were eight banks planning to rescue AMBEC, and that they needed to put between them $15 billion, not three, $15 billion. And at the end of the article, it goes on to say that a large panel of financial experts who'd had actually analysed the risks said that a cash injection of $200 billion was required, not 15. That was the final statement in the Times article. The independent financial analysts had said that to save AMBEC, in reality, the company needs a $200 billion cash injection.
Now, when was this article written?
That was written on the 2nd of February, and I've got a link for that. You can put that up on your site if you like, Daryl. I can give people the link for that one, and they'll actually see. And the point is that when they realized it was that bad, somebody said, listen, you guys, shut up. Don't go telling people things like that. Don't tell them we need $15 billion, because that sounds dreadful. And don't tell them that really we need $200 billion. Tell them we're just trying to raise three. What we see from all of this, Daryl, is that they were never intending to bail out, because the banks know. They know $200 billion is required to just save AMBEC alone. MBIA and all the others, it's the same thing. $200 billion, I think that's probably right for AMBEC insurance. I think MBIA insurance, probably a similar sum, $400 billion left there. Then when we look at all the other smaller players, between them we start swiftly moving sort of $600 to $800 billion just by losing the AAA rating down to AA down.
Well, now,
that's not...